And we just thank you, Lord, that we can be here this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that we had breath to rise up this morning and get dressed, get here, and just want to meet with you, Lord. So open up your word to us, speak to our hearts. These vessels that you use, Lord, sometimes we're just stand in awe, like we sang this morning. We just do stand in awe of you because you continue to use us in spite of us. And we're just so grateful, Lord, for the chance and the privilege to be used by you. So have your way with us and speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Chapter 13. Made it all the way through here. Amazing. And you guys stayed. that's even more amazing. But remember, the walls are salvation, as Isaiah tells us. So they've built up the walls. Salvation has come back to Israel. The gates are praised. They're praising the Lord. We saw that the last couple of chapters where they stood on the wall and praised the Lord for all that he had done. And now we come to a place, this last chapter, and evidently Nehemiah has been gone. We'll see that in just a second as we go through. But he has gone back to the king and he's worked his way back again. But in the midst, there's five things in this chapter that the people had dealt with or were dealing with and that Nehemiah was going to deal with as he came back. And these five things certainly are issues that we have to face, too, as believers. These five things that are going to come into our lives at one time or another have already been there or coming again. We don't know, but God knows what to lead us into. So it says in verse 1 of chapter 13 then that on that day, we don't know what day that was, but that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, whether it was the same day that they were standing on the wall worshiping and praising, we get that sense from it, and we think that's what it is, but we can't be specific about it. But on that day, they read. So they're reading the word. They're in the word in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but they hired Balaam, one of the prophets, against them, that he should curse them. So they hired Balaam out of Israel, and he was more in it for the money than he was for the glory of God, but God used him in spite of him. They hired Balaam to curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Amazing what the world tries to do against the kingdom of God, but God turns it around in their midst, and it comes out for the glory of God. And we see it all throughout the world, that the things that the world tries to do against the church, God turns it around and causes it to be a blessing. I remember Lee Strobel, and I know many of you know him. He wrote The Case for Christ, and he's written a number of books, but he was a newspaper writer and investigator, and he was going to disprove the Bible and then publish it, of course. And so he set out to do that, and as he read the Bible, he got saved. So the thing that he wanted to do against the Lord, God turned into a blessing. And now he's a strong, apologetic teacher, writer, and just what a blessing to have those books, to have somebody that was so against God turn to God. God turns those things around. It tells us this in Matthew chapter 25, starting probably in verse 33, 35. Well, I'll pick up in verse 31. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand." You want to be a sheep, and you want to be on his right hand, but the goats are on the left. The goats are not good. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered," just like we were talking about with Israel, that came into the land, the Moabites, the Ammonites, wouldn't feed them, wouldn't give them water. But Jesus here is bringing this about, and it's in the same sense that he's teaching it. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, the goats on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. So he gives this parable, he gives this teaching, which pretty much corresponds with where we are. Israel coming into the land, and the Moabites and the Ammonites would not give them water. Israel even offered to pay for it. Imagine that. Not that we're profiling, but a Jew would give money instead of getting money out of it, instead of taking money from it. And really, it isn't just a Jew. It's mankind, isn't it? That we would do anything like that. And yet he said, if you've done it to the least of one of me, then you've done it for me. The heart that God has for his people, the heart that God has and holds people in account for the things that they do. We go, oh, I thought salvation was just you believe in Jesus and you're all good. You are in that sense. But the result of that work in your heart is going to be that you're going to reach out to those that are around you, to minister to them, to give them fountains of living waters that only come from the Lord, to feed them with the feeding of the Word of God, to bless them, to encourage them, to pray for them. And he looks at those things and he said, oh, you're doing it for me. We go, Lord, I can do nothing for you. And he goes, you already have. You've believed on me. You've trusted in me. And now you're ministering to those around me. You spoke the name of Jesus. You prayed for somebody. He says, that was for me. Isn't that amazing? That the God of all creation who gives us breath, who gave you the breath to get up this morning, and you who were sleeping and snoring and weren't even thinking about the breath that you were giving except for your wife that was next to you when you were snoring and going, I wish you'd take his breath away from him because I really want to sleep this morning and this guy's snoring so loud I can't do anything. The whole bed is shaking. Come on. But you've done it for me because you've done it to the least of these. Isn't that such a blessing? And we think, Lord, I can do nothing. He says, you can pray, you can give the word, you can speak the name of Jesus wherever you are. And that's a blessing. And it's to the Lord and it's from the Lord. And he sees it and he looks at it. And it says, and now when it came to pass when they heard the law that they separated all of Israel from all of the mixed multitude. When the people heard it, there was a response to the word. And there's an application that's here, not just for them, but for you and I, that when we read the word and when we hear the word, it shouldn't just be that we're reading it to get through it and get our yearly reading in so that we can get through the Bible so that we can stand up in front of people and say, I read through the Bible this year. Aren't you proud of me? Is that we have a reaction to the word, that we let the word get into our heart and do something in it. For those that are around us, that it's going to make a difference in our lives. The word isn't just there to be something that we read. The word is there to do something to our hearts, to change us. And every time we read through, it's going to be different because we get older every time we go through it. And there's different circumstances. There's different things happening. And so as we go through those things, they should always have an impact on our lives. Lord, as I was reading this morning, I read this, and what have I done with it, Lord? What's gone on with my heart in the midst of it? And that's a challenge, isn't it? And what Israel did, they separated themselves from the mixed multitude. There's nothing wrong in and of itself with the mixed multitude, but what the danger is if the mixed multitude has not changed their hearts and their lifestyle to come a different direction. And it wasn't that they had them there and they just happened to be there. It was that they embraced them and brought them into their own lives. And that was the issue that was going on. And we do the same thing with the world. We see it in churches, don't we? That there's a mixed multitude in the churches. And they're embracing things of the world that they shouldn't be embracing. They're embracing things of this life in this world that shouldn't be in the church. And they're embracing them so much that they're bringing them in and putting them at the forefront of the church. Instead of God being the most important person that we meet in the church, we're trying to bring the people in to put them on the pedestal and to focus on who they are. And that's such a sad place. And now we've embraced the world so much and the environment so much that we've made Mother Earth the center of their worship. Did you know? Our wonderful governor, pray for our governor and pray for my heart for the governor. She just put into effect that you can have human composting in New York. You can go to a place and you can compost yourself together with the weeds and in the straws and the leftover plants and everything else. We're the sixth state in the United States to do it. I thought it was just California because we always follow California fairly closely. If California does it, you know it's coming here soon. But there's six states that are doing it because we have to keep Mother Earth. We have to keep the environment pure. Even if cremation, you shouldn't cremate yourself because that causes a fire and you burn up some of this atmosphere. You go, oh boy, I hate to tell him, but one day there's going to be a fire that isn't going to be contained because he's going to burn the world with fervent heat, he says. What are they going to do with that one? They're going to have an issue with God. But we're embracing so much of the world stuff into our lives that we're forgetting the Word of God. But these folks are here. They're reading the Word of God. They're seeing the things that God has written, and they're letting it impact their lives. And they're saying, we can't embrace these things and bring them into our lives. And it really made me think this week as I was reading it, you know, what am I embracing? What kind of mixed multitude of am I bringing into my heart that's against God? And as we read the word, that should have the impact in us that we want. Lord, you want to change me. You want to conform me. How are you doing it? You know, we think we're going to see this big thing in the atmosphere, you know, like Dorothy, you know, when what's his name was up there writing in the sky, you know, Dorothy, I'm after you. Well, God, you could do that too. Well, he could do that. But a lot of times he just lets us read his word. And that's the miracle that should happen in our lives. Do you know every time you read the word and you let it do something in your heart, that's a miracle? Because our natural state is, God, don't talk to me. I don't want you. In fact, at the church yesterday, I was doing it at another church, and the pastor was in the back, and he said, I hope you didn't hear all of the stuff that was going on in the back. Because he was just so bothered by it. Because all of a sudden, partway through the service, I just looked over at him, and his head was just bowed, and he was just praying like crazy. He said they were just saying awful things. And me, you know, I couldn't even remember the worship team was there, so I'm oblivious to everything that's going on. Well, thank you, Lord, for making me oblivious to that, because no, I didn't hear it, and thank you for making me deaf so I didn't hear it. I knew things were happening, but, you know, sometimes we just embrace so much stuff and bring it into the church that it just becomes awful. And in our own hearts. And we're not the ones that are going to be hurt by it. The folks that were doing that are going to be hurt by it. They're resisting God. And we're sitting there trying to point them to Jesus, and their hands were up. But that's us, isn't it? When we read the word, Lord, I don't want to do that. You want me to pray for them? You want me to pray for our governor? You want me to pray for those that despitefully use me? Lord, are you crazy? He goes, no, I died for them, just like I died for you. Great message, huh? You got four more to go. So there's the first one. First issue that they were dealing with, that there was a mixture in Israel, and it says that they separated themselves. And that's what he tells us to do in the New Testament too, isn't it? And in verse 4 then, it says, and before this, Eliashib, The priest, having oversight over the chamber of the house of our God, was allied to Tobiah. Remember, Eliashib was a priest that was in the building of the wall. He's back in the early chapters of Nehemiah here. But he's allied to Tobiah. And it tells us earlier in the chapters that Tobiah was an Ammonite. Oops. We got an issue. What is Eliashib, and he's a priest, what is he doing? He's embracing an ungodly man to bring him in, not only to bring him in and mix him in the multitude, but he puts him up in the house of God. Whoa, issues. We see it in the church, don't we? Tobiah's name, by the way, means the goodness of God. Well, how can you be so nasty to a man whose name means the goodness of God? Well, if he isn't showing what his name says he is, then there's something wrong. Don't go by the names to think that people are good just because they have a good name. They could be the worst people going. And he prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the wine, the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites. Those things that were to be given to the priests. And remember in Psalm 104:15 it says this, "And wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens the man's heart." So in a place where the Levites should have these things stored, which would really bring about a good relationship with the Levites, with the Lord, so that they could minister to the people, they bring in this man who is from the mixed multitude. They bring in this man whose name means the goodness of God and had nothing to do with God. They bring him in and put him in that place where those things were supposed to be. And sometimes we bring things into our lives that shouldn't be there, and we put them in places where God has already put something better in that place. And so instead of being able to rely on those provisions that would be there in the storehouses, they were thrown out and moved out, and something ungodly was brought in. And sometimes we do that with the TV shows that we watch. Well, God, I want to live for you. And then we start watching some shows that really bring about a division between God and us instead of an encouragement to stand strong with God. We start thinking about things that bring into our hearts something that's ungodly and pushes something godly out. Because you can't think about something good of God while you're doing something bad for God and with God. Those two just don't mix. That's why God says, I can't have any sin before me. Ooh. And yet they're grabbing a hold of it, and not only grabbing a hold of it, but bringing it in and just saying, it's okay for me. It's okay for us. And what is Eliashib doing, the priest? He's bringing something ungodly in, and what's it going to do to the people? It's going to cause their hearts to be damaged and their hearts to be impure because he's brought it into the building. Pray for me that I don't do that. And if I do, get in my face, please. Don't let me do that. The last thing I want to do is hurt you guys. I mean, you keep showing up, which is amazing to me. Because when Cardi and I were first talking about it, of coming and in taking over, it was just like, I'm going to drive all these people out of here. Lord, what are you doing? These people are great. They pray. They worship. And you're bringing me in to drive them out? Lord, you keep showing up. Either you're completely deaf, or you're not paying attention, or maybe a combination, you know. But hey, God still wants to work and he still wants to do something. So don't let me bring anything in that's going to do that. Get in front of me and help me. Point me to Jesus. And you know what that means. Vice versa comes into play. So if I get in your face, don't get mad at me. I just want you to be pure. I want you to be holy. I want you to have a good relationship with Jesus. So help me in it. So he brings them into this place that where there should be good things for the Levites and takes that away from the Levites, the singers, the porters, and the offerings for the priests. It gets pushed away, which we know is wrong. But in all this time, was not I at Jerusalem? He wasn't there. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, the king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days I obtained leave of the king. So he went back somewhere in the midst, and many believe that it was around chapter 9 when he went back. Remember, he told the king, he gave the king a certain time, and he was going to come back. And remember, he was a man who was faithful. He's a man who prayed. He is a man who represented God, and he gave his word, so he went back, and he went back to Babylon. Can you imagine? He's in Jerusalem. The walls are built in 52 days. Everything is great. Salvation is coming. Praise and worship are going on. The reading of the word is happening, and he leaves to go back to Babylon because he gave an ungodly king his word. Well, God, you wouldn't want me to do that, would you, if I gave my word to an ungodly man to keep my promise? Yeah. Oh, that's why you don't give vows quickly, huh? Don't make promises that you're going to regret later. Just say, Lord willing, this is what I will do. Instead of saying, I promise. And husbands and wives, you've promised to love each other. Oh, Lord. Why did I get mad at her yesterday? Oh, Lord, help. It's fun making up. Thank you, Frank. We needed that. We needed some encouragement in the midst of that. See, there we go. Get right at me here. So he was gone back, and he got leave from the king again. Remember how scared he was the first time he asked the king if he could go. And he goes back. And then he says, oh, king, I'm your cupbearer, but I would love to be back in Jerusalem. I would love to be back in God's people. I would love to be back in that place where God wants me to be. And he comes back, and it says, I came to Jerusalem. And this is not an easy journey. Lord, this is kind of crazy. You're going to send me all the way back to Babylon, 800 miles, walking to turn around 800 miles to come back again. Lord, you got people there. Use them. But he knew what the Lord was saying to him. He was faithful to stay in relationship with the Lord and to come all the way back again. Lord, for people that are going to be ungodly, for people that are going to come against you eventually, for people that don't love you like I love you, yeah, that's what I want you to do. And why is he coming back? Not for himself. He's coming back for the people. We shouldn't be coming here for ourselves. We should be coming here to bless others, because each of you have a gift that I need to see in operation. And each of you have a way about you that just blesses my heart to see. The way you love each other, the way you pray, the way that you worship, the way that you know the scriptures. And I need to see that, because it's an encouragement for me to continue in my walk with the Lord. And so he comes back to bless the people. And it says that he came to Jerusalem and he understood. It wasn't hard to understand. He walks in the building and there's Tobiah and all his stuff camped out where the corn and the wine and the oil are supposed to be. He understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And folks, it was their responsibility. It wasn't Nehemiah's responsibility to keep things right while he was gone. It was their responsibility. Remember, Moses went up to the mountain of God for 40 days, 40 nights. And while he's gone, what did the assistant pastor do? Nothing against you, Bill. but what did the assistant pastor do? He makes a golden calf. This is what brought you out of Egypt. And everybody loved him. What did he do? The same thing that we just saw that was happening with Tobiah and Eliashib. He brought in something ungodly and thought that he was taking care of the people. Oh, be careful of who you're looking to. Don't look to me. Don't look to Bill. You look to your relationship with the Lord and keep that right. And if you keep that right, it's going to keep things out that shouldn't be there. And it says in verse 8 that it grieved me sore. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. I can't wait to see this guy. He was not afraid to go into his place and say, hey, you ain't supposed to be here. Takes his stuff, throws it out the door. And don't let the door hit you on the way out. Okay? Wow. And you know what? That is such a sad thing. And I've seen enough in the churches and been in leadership enough in the churches to know that these things happen. That sometimes something comes into the church that shouldn't be there. And sometimes it has to be cast out the door. Go, oh boy. I know, and half of you are sitting there going, he's going to ask me to leave the church as soon as he gets out of the pulpit. I just hope he doesn't do it while he's standing up there in front of everybody. I don't want everybody to know he's thrown me out of the church. I'm not here to throw anybody out. I'm just here to say this is what he did because he had to. And you know what? Pray for me again, because if I have to, pray for me that I have the courage and the strength to do it. Because all of that is going to do is hurt the people. And I don't want to hurt you guys. I'm not here to hurt you guys. And so pray for me that I would have the strength to do it if it comes to that. And thank the Lord I haven't seen it much. I don't want to see it. It hurts. It bothers me. It still bothers me. I still remember the names of folks that had to go. And sometimes it works for the good because they see what they're missing and they know they have to come back and repent. Other times it does just the opposite. And they get hardened and they get awful and they get nasty. Pray for your hearts to stay soft no matter what. God can use it. Even if we get booted, God can still use it for good and bring us back into a good relationship with him. So pray for your heart that it would always stay soft no matter what. So he comes in, he takes all the stuff, throws it out. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. It says that the word there is purged. It was that they made it bright. So evidently there was a darkness that was brought in, and now it's made bright again because he cleansed it. He purged it. He put it back to the place that it was supposed to be instead of what they had made it to be. I cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offerings and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. So that was the second thing. And this is while he's gone. Third thing, verse 10. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers and that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers. Boy, this guy is something. Reminds me of Pastor Tony Falcione out of Finger Lakes. He's only about 5'4", 5'5", but he's a bulldog. And he's got a good bark to him, and it works. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Whoa. Isn't it something? That's part of the body of Christ. And sometimes that needs to happen. And you know what? Don't just look at it in the church. It certainly should be there in the church. It should be in our government, which is not there. But it should be in the church. But it doesn't start with the church. It starts with the individuals in the church. Have you set those things in their place in your life? Are those things set there? Your daily reading, your prayer time, your devotion time, are they there in the temple of the Holy Spirit that he's made out of you? Because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit now. Is that in order? Is it set in place? Is it right? So the third thing that the Levites had to leave, they had to go out to work in the field because they weren't getting what they were supposed to get. God set them up, and I'm sure some of the people in the background are saying, boy, it's just like paying taxes, you know, we're paying taxes for stuff that we never see any benefit from. What's going on here? We pay tithes to the church, we do those things in the church, and we're not seeing any result of it. All we're doing is getting somebody yelling at us and pointing fingers at us and saying, these are three things in your life that should be there, and they're not there, and you better get them there. Amazing. But he contended with them because God set those things in place. And if God set them in place, then really who we're mad at is not the people that we're visibly seeing. We're mad with God. I don't like the way you're doing things, God. Then you really have to get together with God and let him change your heart. Because God always does what's right and good. So if there's a problem, it isn't on his end. Guess whose side it's on? If it's not him, there's only one thing left, and that's you and me. I contended with the rulers, and that's where I was with the service yesterday. This lady had died. The people are crying. The people are upset. Guys that had come out of jail sitting there bawling in the front row because grandma's gone. And I'm sitting there looking at him and saying, it isn't God's fault. It's sin's fault. God never made us to die. Our sin did. So the issue isn't with God, and I know a lot of you were mad at God, but we need to be mad with ourselves for letting sin into our life that would do this to people. Because that's what sin does. It kills. It destroys. And some sins we let into our lives cause an early death. And some sins that we let into our lives cause destruction in our family. And some sins that we let into our lives cause us to get fired from our jobs. And thank goodness for the grace of God and the mercy of God that causes us to repent and turn and bless those things instead of having a curse on those things. I contended with them, and I set those things in their place. In verse 12, then brought all of Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil to the treasuries so that man's heart would be glad, their faces would shine, and everything would be good again. And I made treasurers over the treasuries. Shemaliah the priest and Zadok the scribe and of the Levites, Pedaiah, and next to him was Hanan the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, and they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. They were counted faithful. They were full of faith. They exercised faith, because we're not called to walk by sight. We're called to walk by faith. And notice it doesn't say one thing about them complaining because they got a subservient job. You mean you want me to serve people? You want me to be with these people who are sinners? You want me to serve them? Remember what Jesus did at the Last Supper? Took off his robe, put on a towel, and washed their feet. Judas being included. The one who's going to betray him, he gave him clean feet to go out and betray him. Oh, and you want me to do that, Lord? You want me to serve these people? You want me to be with them and pray for them and love them? Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know how to do that, Lord. Exactly. We don't. And in our natural state, we're not going to. But God calls us to have that heart that would be after them, to love them, to do that. They were faithful. They were exercising faith in their office to distribute to the brethren. He says, remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. So he prays again, I think 13 times in 13 chapters he prays, just full of faith, entering in, casting forth these things, and just giving these things over to the Lord. And he says, Lord, remember me and help me in the midst of this. We can't do these things, but the Holy Spirit in us can change us to do it. And that's why we cry out, Lord, I can't. Be honest with the Lord. when he says, I want you to get rid of that sin in your life. I can't, Lord. You know I can't. He already knows anyway, so why not be honest with him? Lord, I can't. Well, it isn't that I can't. I just don't want to, Lord. He goes, I know. I'll help you. I'll put my Holy Spirit within you, and he'll give you the courage and the strength to be able to do those things that I've called you to do that you can't. When you're weak, I'll be strong, and I'm always with you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to love you all the way through. If he loved you enough to save you, don't you think he's going to love you enough to get you to heaven? Yes, he will. And he wants you to get there in the best condition that you can. And sometimes that means we've got to die to self to get there. But that's the best place for us. And especially in a world that hates us, in a world that's against us, in a world where it's just getting worse and worse, it's easy to just say, I give up, I quit, no more, Lord, I'm done. But what does he say? Ah, oh, come on, just one more mile. Let's just go one more round. Oh, really, Lord? How about rapture? Rapture sounds real good right now. But we can't cry out for the rapture when we just want to get out of what we're doing. We can cry out for rapture because we just want to be with Jesus. And people look at us and say, you just want to escape. Yeah. But while I'm here, I want to be faithful. So help me, Lord, change my heart so that I can be faithful. Faithful in the midst. And in those days, so there was number three. Here comes number four, verse 15. Oh, wow. You guys are taking a long time to get through this chapter. In those days saw I and Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in sheaves and lading asses, and also in the wine, the grapes, the figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and I testified against them. Boy, the battle that this guy was facing, do you think he liked going every day and going up to somebody else and saying, you're in sin, you're doing wrong, this is, I gotta set things in order in this place, I gotta go over here and set things in order over here. Wouldn't it be better to just go to a hotel and hit the spa and just say, ah, this is great, I'll serve you, Lord. Every day, every time you turn around, he's ministering to somebody else in a different way. And there are issues that are there that are issues in your heart and my heart right now that he wants to deal with. Do you ever think that poor Holy Spirit has to deal with me every day and watch me be a bozo? Lord, you really want to do that the rest of my life? Yeah, that's how much I love you. Oh, I testified against them in the day that they sold victuals. And there dwelt men of Tyre also, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold it on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah. Remember, he's already set up that on the Sabbath day, the gates are going to be closed. And you're not coming in here to sell your stuff, and you're not coming in here so that we can go out and buy the stuff. Just all these things that he had already set into place were back in place again. And so I contended with them, with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, what evil thing is this that you're doing, and you're profaning the Sabbath day in your lives and in your hearts? Did not your fathers do that? And did not God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? We just got out of Babylon, and you're bringing it all back again so that we can go back to Babylon and be servants again. Are you crazy? You just got out of prison, and you want to go back to prison just to put shackles back on again. Oh, but that's the natural state of man, is that we'll shackle ourselves with something that we think is good for us that turns out to be completely horrible and kills us. Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded the gates that they should be shut in charge, that they should not be open till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants I set at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and the sellers and all kinds of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. And then he confronts these guys. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why are you standing outside the wall? If you do again, I'm going to lay my hands on you. I love this guy. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. Once they found out he meant what he said and he said what he meant, they figured out, this is probably not a good place to be then. Because they weren't there to get a blessing from the Lord. They weren't there to be entering in to bring a blessing to the people. They were there for their own pleasure. And God won't let them in if you're there for your own pleasure. If you want to walk with the Lord, he's not going to bless you so that you can have more pleasure for yourself. He's going to bless you to make you more like him. And you really got to decide, why am I here and what am I doing at this wall of salvation, in this gate of praise? Am I doing it so I get something out of it? You know, there's a lot of people that do godly things because they know there's a benefit with it. Remember the kings with Joseph, the pharaohs? They knew Joseph was getting blessed. So they said, come on in. We'll even put you up in the kingdom so that we can be blessed because we know whatever you do blesses us. But they wouldn't commit themselves to the things of the Lord. And there's people who do godly things and keep commandments because they know that there's a benefit to it, but they don't honor the God of those commandments. And so they miss out on the real blessing of having the riches of God's grace in their lives, and instead they're just doing things because they're getting a benefit for themselves. Our hearts, our hearts, our hearts. Always to our hearts, isn't it? So I testified against them and said, if you do this again, I'm going to lay my hands on you. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, oh my God. So he's crying out again. This poor guy, every time he does something, is just like, oh Lord, this is heavy. I'm coming to you again. I want to bless you, Lord. Help my heart. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy. Look at this guy's heart. He's just gotten rid of all the junk, and he says, spare me, Lord. Really? Because he knew his own heart, didn't he? Lord, my heart is desperately wicked. Who's going to save me? You, Lord. He comes to the Lord and says, by your mercy, I'm going to get there. It wasn't by him keeping the commandments. Look at what it says. It says, by your mercy. Not by my works, but by your mercy, God. We always come to him for his mercy, not because of our works. This is not a works relationship. This is a relationship because of his mercy. We don't work our way to earn his grace. We work because of his grace that's already there. So in those days, that was number four. Number five, we're almost there. About 2 o'clock this afternoon, we should be done. So in those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon of Moab. So they're Moabite people. And remember, the separation has already started to take place. And he comes in and he says, there's Levites and priests, and they're doing the things that they're telling the people not to do. And yet they're doing it. I know you parents would never say to your kids, do as I say, not as I do. Isn't it crazy? Why would we even say that? You know, it's almost like looking at a kid and saying, you want a spanking? I know none of you ever did that. How many kids raise their hands and say, yes, I would love a spanking right now. It's wonderful for me. No, but we say those things, don't we? And then we do something else. The fifth thing in our hearts, what we're saying is not always what we're doing. And it says their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. They didn't have God's language for their lives. The words of God were not in their hearts. They couldn't form the words. Remember back in Judges chapter 12, Ephraim was in Gilead, were fighting, and they stopped along a river, and they say, Shabibboleth, and the people from Ephraim couldn't say it. They couldn't pronounce the H in there. All they could say was Shabibboleth. And when they said it, they got killed because they weren't forming their words right. And if we're not forming the words in our heart right to be in communion with the Lord, it's going to cause us to die. Lord, even my speech you want. Be careful of your speech. Be careful of the jokes that you tell. Be careful of the words that you say. I don't know how many people come up to me and say, I'm sorry for saying this, but blah, 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 bleep, 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 but forgive me. Well, why did you have to say it in the first place if you're going to apologize twice? You know, don't even bother. But we're not forming our words, are we? What we're forming is the things of the world working in us, and that's what comes out of our mouth. Be careful of your words. Be careful of those things. Form your words right. Like it says here, they couldn't form the words. They couldn't speak in the language that was right. And I contended with them. This poor guy. He keeps contending with the people. Amazing. And he stays strong in the midst of it. He's got more than I do. I contended with them and cursed them. Whoa, boy. And smote certain of them and plucked off their hair. First he takes Tobiah, throws him out through the door. And now he's taking the people by the hair, the priests, and ripping their hair out. What are you doing? Oh, boy. This is a little over the top. I can guarantee you, I probably won't grab most of you by your hair because a lot of you don't have hair to start with. So it's hard to just grab your scalp and get you out of there. I don't know. But he smote certain of them, plucked off their hair, made them swear by God saying, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons for yourselves. Don't intermarry in that place where you're going to have believer with unbeliever because it's going to cause destruction to them. And I know a lot of folks say, if I get married, I'll change them. Ladies, you aren't going to change them. You may train them to do certain things, but you aren't changing their heart. You're just training them to do what you want to do, but you haven't changed their heart one bit. The heart's what is what has to be changed, and that can only be done by God. It can't be done by you yelling and screaming and pulling their hair. It has to be done by the Spirit of God. So did not Solomon, the king of Israel, sin by these things yet among... And so he gives the example of it. Solomon sinned, and look at what happened to him, and look at what happened to the kingdom when he did it. It got ripped to pieces, and it pretty soon just everything was taken away. Yet among many nations there was no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all of Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Whoa, outlandish. I've been called a lot of things, but outlandish was not one of them. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? Shall we then hearken to you, the priests that are teaching us how to live and how to walk? And I look at TV, not too much, but every once in a while you skip through those channels, you know, and they're sitting there saying, I know there's somebody out here that's going to give $1,000. In fact, there's five of you. Oh, I hear it from the Lord. You know, and all I can do is, shall we hearken then unto you who aren't doing what you say that you're doing? To do this great evil, to transgress our God in marrying strange wives and marrying strange things of the world. Be careful what you're marrying yourself to, not just person-wise, but what are you embracing and holding on to? And one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was the son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Remember Sanballat from the earlier chapters? He's in there. He's a bad guy. He's saying, you can't build a wall. You don't want to do it. Trying to get Nehemiah out of the city into the plains of Ono so that they could destroy him and destroy the work that was going on. Sanballat was a Moabite. And so it says that I chased this young man from me. He married, he was the son-in-law to Sanballat, so he married Sanballat's daughter. And Josephus says that the people that he chased from him, this Joiada, he chased from him, and others that went with him that were mad at Nehemiah for what he said. And remember, some people may get mad at you and leave. Some people may repent and stay with you, but you've got to have a heart towards the Lord. In a sense, you've got to have the skin of a crocodile just so that nobody can get through. I chased him from me. Josephus, a Jewish historian, says that many of these people went with Sanballat. They went to Samaria, and they built a temple there for apostate Jews. Imagine what kind of services they're having. We see it in the churches around us now. Some of them have fled the churches that are teaching the word, and they're teaching whatever they want to teach. But it's not the word. It's not the whole counsel of the word. It's just the portion they want to have. So he prays again, verse 29. He says, remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood, the covenant of the priesthood, and the Levites. Whoa, that's quite the destruction. That's quite the defiling. You don't want to do that. Then cleansed them I, he purged them, made them bright again from all the strangers, all the strange things that they had embraced, and appointed the wards of the priests and Levites, everyone in his business. He's setting a lot of people in place here. And for the wood offering of the times appointed for the first fruits, remember me, O my God. So he prays again at the very end. Short little prayers, sometimes longer prayers. But he's constantly praying. He's constantly before his God, asking him for wisdom, asking him for direction, asking him for keeping, asking him to show him the way that's right. And we certainly need all these things in our lives. And we certainly need all these things to be pointed out to us. I needed this chapter this week. You know, what are you marrying into? What are you embracing? What are you holding on to? What are you doing when you think that God's not there? You're making a golden calf. And all those things are issues of the heart that we have to deal with at one time or another. And some of us deal with them all the time. But Lord, help us in the midst of it. Do what's right. We're going to take communion and remember what's right, what's good, because we're remembering him, and he's the only one that's right and good. So bring us to that place, Lord, where we can have that heart. So as you take the elements, just look at those things, look at them for what they are, just a remembrance of what God has done for us to set us free. All that he did just to set us free. And look at how much bondage we put ourselves in every day. And I don't know why I do it, but I get in the expressway almost every day. And I don't know why I keep doing that to myself. Just, you know you have trouble there. Don't go there anymore. Don't start yelling at those people. I died for those people. But Lord, they're idiots. I know, but so are you. That's why you're on the road with them. I said, okay, Lord. But just take those elements. Remember what he's done for you. Remember all that he has for you. And remember what, not only that, but what he wants to do with you now. You've heard these things. And you're starting to apply those things to your hearts, to your lives. And you're going, okay, Lord, maybe I'll take point one, but I won't take the other 4 points. That's okay. Just do something with that one. Let God do something in your heart, even with just that one thing. Because if you do it with one thing, pretty soon you're going to allow him to do it with another thing and another thing. And pretty soon your thoughts aren't going to be the thoughts that you used to have. Do you remember when you weren't saved and what you were into? And you look at it now and it's so foreign to you, isn't it? Let some of these other things be foreign to you too. The thought life, the actions, the words, how you form your words. Are you always complaining and groaning and moaning? Or are you bringing joy to people's lives? When they see you coming, do they go, oh no, I can put my hat down over my face and maybe they won't see me. I'll hide behind the door. Or you go and sit on the other side of the church. And this is small, so you can't really hide too well. But God wants to do a work in us. And he loves us. And in the days that we're in, we're at that place where we need him more and more and more, because we're facing a lot of stuff out there, but he's still bigger than all those things that are out there. So Father, as we take these things, as they take these tokens, Lord, we remember all that you've done for us, and we're so thankful. And we ask, Lord, that you just be with us, that you'd minister to our hearts and our minds, that you keep us and sustain us, that you'd bring us to a place, Lord, where we would want our heart to be changed over those issues that we know aren't glorifying you. Lord, we've seen those things this morning. And Father, we ask that you just start a work within us. Some of those things may not be completed till the day we go home. But Lord, we know that you're going to work. And we want to walk by faith. We don't want to walk by sight anymore. So help us, Lord, to walk in the faith that you've given us. So we look at the bread. Remember your body that was broken for us. We look at the cup and see the blood that was poured out. And we thank you, Lord, that you let your body be broken, that you let your blood be poured out so that we could be free of sin, free from the bondage of sin, free from those things of bondage that hold us so harshly. They're almost like fetters of iron, as it talks about in the Psalms with Joseph's legs. They hurt him. And Lord, some of our sin hurts us. It causes scars to be made. And Lord, it takes a lot to get rid of those scars. But we know that your blood can do so many things that it can free us from those things, those thoughts, those actions. So Lord, we take these now in remembrance of you and what you've done. And we give you thanks for them. In Jesus' name, let's partake. Isn't God good?